Nail Nuts Garage.
Well, hello, everybody. It's the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and I am the Faye Driver. So we're testing a few new audio things tonight in an effort for me to try and make the show sound a little better. But so I hope everything's coming through okay, and you're not hearing any onerous sounds. I do want to say hello to everybody who's down there in Orlando for the G'days. I never know much about these G'days. They all come up on me. Let me tell you who I've got in my chat room. We'll use everybody right off the top here. George in Atlanta, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm peachy, thanks.
And are you going to the G'days?
I am not, but, you know, clear. I mean, I see all this, you know, excitement and energy. I'm thinking about going next year.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, this sneaks up on me, and it doesn't appear on my calendar in my head, and I'm always surprised when people are taking off and going to, I guess, it is in Orlando. Does anybody know?
Yeah. It's in Orlando. What's the Disney in California called?
Adventureland?
No.
Disneyland.
Disneyland, yeah. And Disney World. So which one?
Disneyland's in California.
So Disney World is in Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amusing. Mark, you're here. Good evening, Mark. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We've just come back from New York, in fact, and maybe we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yes, yes.
Did you have a good trip?
I did have a good trip, and that's Ranger John on the phone, right?
That is, yeah. I was just going to introduce him because he was there, and Ranger John is going to tell us a little bit about what he did recently. How are you doing, John?
Good. I'm doing good.
Did you go to New York, or you went to Rochester?
I went to Ithaca.
Oh, you went all the way to Ithaca.
Ithaca, that's where the legendary Toppy Smalley lives.
All right, we're going to talk about that later too. So now I'm just waiting for Marta, the Laughing Buddha, to get ready to come and join us as well. And Scotty available here. Let me see if I can get him on the line as well. Hang on a sec.
Oh, Scotty's in the chat room. Yay.
Hello, Scotty.
Hello, Canada.
Ah, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Hey. Good, thanks.
Have you been to Ithaca or Rochester or New York in the last week?
Not in the last week, no.
I don't mean to interrupt this charming conversation, but ever since Scotty answered the phone, the line is much more clear.
Oh, thank you, Scotty.
I do try to clean up Faye's, you know, mess, so.
So thank you, I appreciate it.
It does sound better. That's strange.
It does, I'm serious, yeah.
So let me, where is that, Mark? The Laughing Buddha. See it. If anybody sees it pop up in the chat room, you'll have to let me know. I'm going to assign one of you fellows to monitor the chat room. Is there anybody who wants to volunteer?
I can do it. Oh, or George.
No, go ahead.
All right, Meezing Mark, you're in charge of the chat room. Shout out anything that comes up that's of interest. Have my permission to interrupt me.
Okay.
None of you other people can interrupt me, but Mark, you feel free. Okay, well, let's show rolling. Let me do my little intro. If you're listening right now live on pride48.com, make sure you go to the chat room, log in, say there. There's quite a few people in there now. I'll just go through the list real quickly. Boo is in there. Crone is there. Oh, I think that might be Cronehaven. Is Boo a Boo, possibly? We've got George in Atlanta, who's with us here tonight. Larkin is here. Mark in Canada. Moose P from North Carolina. Rainbow is my guest tonight. RT Cruiser's there from way over in Australia, Scotty. And Toppy Smelly, who we might be talking about a little bit later on. I also see Brother Sinatus in here as well. So hello, everybody in the chat room. So come on over. Now, I wonder if there's any participants at the Gay Days listening. If you're there, hello and welcome. I hope you're all having a really good time. Sounds like Wes Stone and Big Fatty were getting along okay from the things Big Fatty online. So bring some guests in here. Nobody who's on with me tonight has been to Gay Days.
No. Yeah.
That's a negative.
Negative.
So it's just, can you tell me about it? Because I just don't quite get it.
Me well, either.
Disney a few years ago, it started unofficially. Disney seemed to be the target of several large groups of gay folks who sort of ascended on Disney on a sort of on a Disneyland property on a given day, and it became more formalized. And then all of a sudden, Disney started recognizing it. So it's actually a recognized sort of gathering of gay folks.
Faye, I'd like to announce that we have our first female chatter. Brenda Boo is in the chat room. Thank you very much. Before it was all guys, and I, as far as I know. Faye, are you there?
I'm sorry. I'm still having audio problems here. You guys just carry on without me. hi, Brenda Boo. Welcome to the room. Now, has anyone heard my most recent episode where I was going on about shopping carts and what was the newspaper boxes by any chance?
Was that your April edition?
Hey, now just a minute, Mister.
I cast as much as you do. That's hateful. He podcasts a lot more frequently than you, Scotty. Come on.
I don't know. Let me just go and refresh the stream. I think it's been quite a while since the... I think iTunes actually has automatically unsubscribed me a few times as well.
Well, you got to get
name
off
of that show again. Enough. Pink.
Yeah, just never mind.
Pink. No, I listen to the Pink Wheelnuts online, so I literally go to his website. So
you don't carry it to George?
You know, I mean, I honestly use my iPhone for a phone, and I almost never listen to podcasts on the phone, so I'm always at a computer, either at home or work. So most people I've got subscribed to them, or I want to see what their website look, you know, see what's going on their website. So yeah, I listen to probably 100% of Pink Wheel Nuts on your website.
So how do you know there's a new Pink Wheel Nuts episode?
Because I go to your site. No, I go to your site once a week. Yeah.
Oh, really? How?
Yeah.
Okay. That's very good of you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Faye Driver, can I?
Yes, sir.
Can I make a big apology? Because I know no one will believe me when I say this, but iTunes has unsubscribed me from your podcast, and it's not even on my podcast list.
That is
this
rude.
This has happened before with... this has happened twice before as well.
Really?
And so you're totally not even in my
You're just deleting. Thing. You're just deleting episodes above me and accidentally deleting me all the time.
I don't know. But look, when I go and look at you in iTunes, it says subscribe for free. Okay.
Like, huh. I'll be charging you $1 for that, though.
Well, I'll have to pull some pins out of the voodoo doll now.
That's why my back is so sore. Oh, well, anyway, I don't know.
Can we just ask Scotty who else he has dolls on? Because I got some back problems too. I just need to know.
George, your doll is not a voodoo doll, and it does have some holes in it, but it's pleasurable items.
Oh my!
Oh my goodness! That sounds dirty.
Thankfully, we're not on video. You see my face red right now.
Okay, well, let's turn away from that little bunny trail. So, a lot has this week. I want to talk about I don't know. This may be risky. I want to talk about American politics, George. Actually, before we got to that, I was going to say on my last episode, I played some George on my show. So if any of you were out there listening today, you would have heard me and Radio George together. So woo-hoo! I just want to thank you, Radio George, for the great music mixes that you make, because I always enjoy a whole ton.
Well, Radio George appreciates you listening.
You've also got a bit of change happening with your podcast. Do you want to tell us again what's going on with your show?
Yeah, no, thanks. I'd love to. You know, I've been doing, since Wes, Gay Country Wes, introduced me to the podcasting world and Pride 48, I've been on his show. And then the stuff I've been doing on my own, I've been doing on Audioboo. So audioboo.com or audioboo.fm is really simple. Like, you record and, you know, you press record and then you press upload. And it takes a lot of the hosting and syndication out of the mix. I mean, it's really simple. The problem is, you know, you have to pay upwards of $100 for a year subscription. And that there's a time limit. It's like 30 minutes per episode, if you will. But not many people use Audioboo for actual podcasting. So I just decided to sort of jump off of that boat and do what everybody else is doing and actually have a real honest-to-goodness podcast. So georgeinatlanta.com is an actual podcast now.
Great. So did you find that difficult?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I've listened to so many people talking about their – I mean, Toppy and so many other people who got bumped from Mevio – and then had to jump to other hosts. And then, you know, listening to Daniel on Dubious Intent about, you know, the need to sort of be in complete control of your own feed and maybe using FeedBurner to burn your feed. So, I mean, if you change host, you've still got your feed, and then right. your listeners in iTunes aren't going to have to resubscribe. I mean, they will now, because I'm moving from Audioboo to Libsyn. So if you, a commercial for me, if you do need to unsubscribe, if you haven't already, you need to unsubscribe and go find George in Atlanta on iTunes, and it'll be the one that has very few episodes, and resubscribe. So I'm still dealing with some like, show art issues, but I think it'll work itself out. But, I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Well, the episodes have been coming through to me, but I've made sure to keep the old ones, all the old Georges, unless you're going to repost those again.
That's a little secret, so you get the exclusive. I actually took all of a year, that's about 120 episodes on Audioboo offline. So if you have them, then you have then you have the full George in Atlanta, but I'm only going to put back about 10 of my favorite episodes. Yeah.
So you're pulling a little Mark in Canada trick there.
Actually, I am. That's exactly.
Mark, he's a clean house.
Right? I thought, you know, Mark did that, so I'm going to do it too. Well, I mean, for me, the last year is my first year. So I experimented a lot. I said some things, I did some things. I'm like, you know what? That was experimental year, and I said all along it was going to be an experiment. So we're starting clean. Here we go.
Yeah, good. Mark, did you have a question from before?
No. Larkin is asking which hosting site everybody went to that was on Mevio. So I wasn't on Mevio, but
I did a before I made my change. I literally went to my favorite Pride 48 list, which is about 20 podcasters, and there's an enormous popularity with Libsyn.
Mm-hmm.
Libsyn.
Scotty, did you have something to say as well?
I was going to say that George probably deleted his old shows because they were all recordings of Rain.
What? Rain?
Yeah. Oh,
you'll never let me live that down, will you?
Now did I properly introduce everybody? I'm sorry, John, Ranger John. Did you get introduced, Lee?
No.
I think I did. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah. We're going to get to John has a little, this is a show about cars and car problems. So Ranger John is going to talk to us a little about his most recent car adventure, but I'm wondering if I can test the water, stick my toe in the water and talk a little bit about politics in the United States. What's going on? What is going on with, Obama and DOMA and all that, and how are you guys all feeling about that? Let me start with John Reagan. Do you have any comments on, do you have any feelings about what's happening here?
Well, the most recent court decision, which was Massachusetts, I don't know which court, I think it's a...
It's Boston.
An appellate court in Boston. Declared DOMA unconstitutional. This is like the second or third time that's happened. So that's good. I think that's
good. And that was today, right?
Today or yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting about that most recent, you know, of course, last year, the Obama administration decided and made public that they were no longer going to defend DOMA. The Justice Department would no longer defend DOMA.
Right.
Which, you know, caused a lot of consternation amongst the assholes on the right. And then today, what's interesting about the court case is that they are saying specifically of marriages recognized by states, how is the federal government treating them? DOMA is deemed unconstitutional in terms of treating couples that are married recognized by states. So it's not like some sort of sweeping endorsement of gay marriage. It's a very nuanced, as are all of these court cases, as is what's going on with Prop 8, and hopefully its eventual ascension to the Supreme Court. But it's a very nuanced conversation about, okay, of states who recognize same-sex marriages, the federal government, you cannot discriminate in this way.
Right, and I think one of the judges said that the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, will eventually have to weigh in on this and decide.
I'm sorry, Mark. I'm sorry, John. Can you say that again, please?
I think that one of the judges in the Massachusetts case said that the United States Supreme Court will eventually have to weigh in on this and decide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's gonna go the same route as Prop 8 then.
Yep. Yep.
Mark in Canada, any thoughts or any reaction to this? And what about coming out recently and coming out in favor of same sex?
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me like all these court cases, all of this is just a big waste of everybody's time. If they would just give everybody their civil rights already, it's like it's going to happen sooner or later, and it's very fatiguing to even follow all these decisions and all this legislation. And as for Obama, I think that I kind of can understand his feeling like he's evolved on this issue, because I think I have. So, you know, and if I have, I can certainly, you know, give him a break. And, you know, he didn't come out of the womb supporting, you know, same-sex marriage. So I can understand it. It's just, I'm glad. I think it's historic. It's amazing that a president would even, support marriage rights in the way he has. So
I do think there's a lot of people, and I have a little soapbox issue with the gay community. The gay community, that, did somebody have a bird?
Yeah, that's John.
Okay.
John,
is that a bird?
Mute yourself, maybe.
No, it's fine. It's
you like
fine.
The bird?
Oh, okay. No, it's fine. Yeah, I thought it was a technical issue.
She's flying around the room.
I love that. I have a little soapbox issue with the.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me put this box down here. Go ahead, John. Step up.
I have an issue with the gay community that seems to be really critical of President Obama and why he's not already delivered, you know, in a silver platter to all of us, gay marriage and complete, you know, acceptance amongst the entire world. I'm like, get off your fucking high horses and understand that this is the president, the first and only president, who has struck down Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He has verbally, after his own sort of heart, his own sort of understanding of gay marriage as advanced, he's finally said publicly and quite frankly to his own, it's not a popular conversation to have. And he said, I support gay marriage. Prior to this, he thought that civil unions would suffice, and they, in his opinion, are not. So he supports it. Yes, he also sort of gave a backhanded sort of, but I still think states' rights sort of should have the final say-so in this. That's arguable, in my opinion. But, you know, today we learned that his administration is not only not supporting DOMA, but it's been deemed unconstitutional by a federal court. So, I mean, I honestly am not sure what president in our recent, and I mean recent in the last 20 years, who's done more, who's trying to do more for us than President Obama is. So I think people need to climb off his ass a little bit.
Yeah, give him a break. Would we be better off with, you know, some of the other candidates? You know, it's like, and Moose in the chat room says that we need to support Obama in November. Romney promises constitutional amendment to ban marriage. I think he means gay marriage. So, yeah, I mean, he's done so much more than Clinton did. I don't know. Yeah, people need to get off his back. You know, that's what I think.
I too am surprised by the amount of resistance he's had from within the gay community to all the things he's done. And recently somebody headed out a video of all of the things that Obama has done for the gay community. It's about a 5-minute long video. And I saw this video, and it was Acacius Page, actually. The mysterious Acacius, another one of those people I'd like to get to know better. And I'm got you on my target, Acacius Page. But anyway, it was him who tweeted out this video. Basically, it's pretty much a campaign video for, you know, elect the gay president. But it was very impressive, all the things that they listed off he has accomplished. And I'm a little surprised that I guess I shouldn't be surprised given your policy in America, but... I think he should be applauded for what he has done in his term.
Yeah.
Go ahead, George.
We just live in a bizarre time in America, and I've quite frankly not seen anything like it, that we're fine to say that it's raining outside. Oh, no, it's not. You're a Democrat. That's why you're saying it's raining outside, because you're a Democrat. I mean, like, facts are completely irrelevant. If you say something and you're a Democrat, you're only saying it because you're a Democrat. It's the most bizarre, divisive period in America that, for some reason, the right seems to think they have the right to respond in kind to the way the left responded to President Bush, and they don't seem to understand we have documented grievances against what he said and did, and they think, oh, it's our turn now. We get to have the same sort of discourse with President Obama. But the simple fact is you don't have the facts on your side with that discourse. Right. You know, you can disagree with his health care policy. Quite frankly, I don't know what else you have to disagree with him on. You know, I mean,
I think that Republicans never have facts on their side.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Mark, did you have something to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I just remember during the Bush years, all the books that were written about all the abuses of power, and the library close to my house was just had a shelf full of anti-Bush books and just all the Iraq war and everything. And have there been books written about the abuses by the Obama administration? It's like it's night and day. And right. I just think that, you know, would we have been better? Where would we be if McCain had won?
We'd be in hell. Yeah.
So, I think we got to cut him a lot of slack. I mean, he's not a divine presence. He's a human being, and he's trying to make the best decisions he can. And he's the best president in my lifetime.
I honestly don't think you can look at the situation that the economy was in when President Bush left office, and it was tanking, to say the least. The housing market meltdown was in full effect. If you've watched any of the many, 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 many documentaries or movies about what Wall Street was doing as it relates to derivatives and CDOs, you know that like the trouble was written, you know, a year or two, like starting in 2005, 2006, and 2007. And so like all our chickens were coming to roost at that time. And so it's not fair to blame sort of the downward spiral we were in on Obama, but look at what he's done and how he's brought those. I mean, even today, the jobs numbers were out and there were only 69,000 jobs created in the last month. Okay, well, how many? I mean, like, it wasn't a net loss. It was a net positive. And the last, you know, several months of President Bush were horrendous. So, yeah.
Scotty, the little Aussie battler, do you have any reaction to what's happening here in North America or in the United States with this stuff? I mean, you live in a fairly progressive country yourself. You probably don't have these issues.
We kind of don't, but our Prime Minister, of course, is anti-gay marriage. So she said that she doesn't believe that, you know, it fits in with the traditions of what Australians view as marriage, which is kind of dumb, seeing as she's unmarried and is the leader of the country and is shacked up with her boyfriend in the lodge. But, you know, that's different. That's okay. with regards to Obama, I guess it's easier for people outside the USA who aren't really, I guess, vested in it for gay people to be quite supportive of Obama the whole time. I have found it really weird listening to podcasts where gay people basically just go ballistic on Obama and how the first day he became the president, he just didn't veto and wipe out and change every single law in the country, which, of course, he can't do anyway. So, yeah, I suppose when it's closer to home, you're going to be more critical and more negative. You probably want things done a whole lot faster. So I kind of understand it. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit much to ask.
Right. Okay, well, unless anyone has any closing thoughts on this, I'll move the show on. Anybody?
Vote Obama in November.
Right on.
I think also that we have to give Obama a little slack because he's a politician and he might be waiting for his second term to do his biggest stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a difficult job. I don't think people realize the bartering that goes on in order to be able to, you know, do the job of a politician. So,
and I think people forget that, you know, a politician's first job is actually to win the next election. And people get caught up in their promises and their policies and whatever. But, you know, if you're in government, the first day you're there, you're thinking about winning the next election. So, you know, despite all the nice things and some of the difficult choices politicians occasionally make, for the most part, they want to win the next election. And
yeah,
that's their, actually one of their main priorities.
Yes. I think that I think what we should do here in the United States is to have a one-term president to avoid that re-election stuff. Maybe an 8-year presidency, maybe.
Yeah, I started to say if you're going to limit them to one term, you've got to expand it past 4 years. Yeah.
All right, well, let's not get in a debate about re-engineering the democratic process in America. Let's on. Let's get... This is the Pink Wheel Nuts garage, after all, not the Pink Wheel Nuts parse, so let me take over the show.
Well, you introduce the topic.
I just wanted to get a peppering of what people thought, and
As happens in all garages and barbershops across the North American continent.
Absolutely. Maybe should we go around the room and people can tell us what they have for cocktails, and y'all should be relaxing. So I'm having a glass of white wine myself. Scotty?
I'm having English breakfast tea at 9:30 in the morning.
That sounds divine. Mark?
I'm just having a glass of still water.
Still water. That's interesting.
So healthy.
Do you let it sit?
It's just sitting here and it's got some bubbles in it, so I guess it's still water. It's just water. I don't drink. So
you realize it, Mark, you need to guard that water because it's going to be the economy of the future when we run out of oil, right?
I know.
And we are the ones here in Canada who have it all. So
we've got a lot of it. It's been falling from the sky tonight. So.
John, what are you drinking?
I'm having a vodka martini.
And George?
I'm having something new I've never had before. It's Absolute raspberry infused vodka and raspberry and tonic and just some raspberries, actual fresh raspberries.
Oh, wow. That's very berry.
It's quite tasty, actually.
It's too bad Mark Laughing Buddha is not here, because I'd like to have told him about the drink I have had recently, but I'm not going to get into it. I'll wait till he comes back. Okay, John. First of all, I want to give a little credit to you. You were the inspiration for the last show, the last garage show, Wheel Nuts 007, which was about a month ago, where we were all talking about our first car. So I want to thank you, John, for bringing that up on your own show, the Dark Forest podcast.
Thanks.
Do you want to just tell us how we can find the Dark Forest and stuff while you have this?
Sure. dfranger.blogspot.com.
So now, recently, you've already spoken to us on your recent show how you had some problems with your air conditioning or some sloshing. So tell us what occurred for you there.
Let's see. It was over the course of about a week, I heard this movement in the front of the car. It sounded like it was coming from the passenger side, like sand going back and forth in a box. And then after about a week, I saw a lot of water on the passenger side floor.
Inside on the floor?
Yep.
And?
So I took it to the
So you went, oh my God, my baby. That's what I would have done. I would have gone, oh my God, my baby. Apparently you didn't. You just said,
So I took it to the garage, and they said it was the air conditioning drainage hose.
And so,
blocked.
Do you know what this thing does?
I think so. I think that air conditioning develops condensation.
Correct.
And that the condensation needs to be eliminated. Like if you go outside your car on a hot day and you see water under the car, that's the condensation being eliminated from the car.
That's true. Unless you don't have air conditioning, then it's just a problem. But if you have air conditioning, it's very likely the condensation. Yes, it's okay. Go ahead.
So I took the car to the garage. They, I thought it was going to be very expensive and a long time. And they said, oh, we can fix that. And they just unblocked the hose.
Now, do you know, did they have to lift your car up? Did they put it on a lift or did they crawl around underneath? And where was this thing?
I don't know because I drove the car into the lot and then I went in and told them my story and gave them my key and then I sat down and...
And that's when they took off and to the corner store to pick up a case of beer with it and then they came back and they...
Exactly.
You know, you should always mark your... When you go into a shop, always mark your mileage. This is what I do. Not that I'm anal or anything. But you should mark your mileage so you know how far they've taken the car. You might be surprised, you know. I've had a car come back with 100 kilometers on it.
Really?
And the excuse I got was... Well, I wanted to. This is my accent. My mechanic is of accent, shall we say? Well, I had to take the car because sure, I understand what's wrong with it.
So, Faye, my question to you is: which car was that?
That was the good one, the spy car, the BMW.
Of course.
Anyways, that bastard took a free ride in my car out to the country. But he fixed the problem, so I guess I shouldn't complain. Okay, so let's just explore this a bit more. Let me try to explain. You've done a good job of it. You're correct. The way that your air conditioning works is it sucks the moisture out of air inside the cabin of your car, and that moisture is produced by the condenser. And there's a radiator system for your air conditioning, and this builds up a lot of water in the process of removing condensation. It's got to go somewhere. So it tends to, it's evacuated by basically a drainage system, which is more than a teeny little hose, like a quarter-inch hose that pokes through the bottom of your car and just sort of dangles there fairly close to where the engine bay is. And what can happen is, especially you've probably had a muddy or a wet and snow winter where you are, and John, and it could just simply be plugged by mud and goo and gunk. It might also be plugged by leaves and dead stuff like that. So they just basically take a coat hanger that they've unfurled and jam it up your hole.
Whoa!
And clean you out, as they say.
Not my hole.
And then they charge you $85.
So they actually charged me only $60.
Well, that's
and
good.
I also got an oil change and an inspection sticker.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. That's a good deal. I think they treated you well. You should go back there again.
I go back a lot.
Yeah, good. Anybody have any questions in the either chat room or on the call with me about John's problem?
In the chat room, talking about air conditioning. Car air conditioning. Let's see. Toppy says his car's air conditioning ceased about 2 hours after he bought it.
Poor Toppy. Speaking of Toppy... Speaking of John, you also had a run-in, a brush with greatness. Tell us who you've been to see. We're all dying to know, and tell us how it all went.
I visited the legendary Toppy Smelly in Ithaca, New York.
Woo-hoo! I'd give him a round of applause around here.
Whoa!
Which finger in the finger lights?
I think it's the maybe the rightmost finger or the next rightmost finger, Lake Cayuga.
So, and how long did it take you to get there from where you are, and how did you travel?
Long time, 6.5 hours by rental car.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why rental car?
Because I was going with Daniel, and I had to leave our car here for Kenty, because I didn't want to leave him without a car for the weekend.
That's generous of you.
Well.
So Daniel doesn't have a car, so you decided to rent one?
No, he has one, but he lives in North Carolina.
Oh, I see. So his car is there.
Yep.
Okay. You have such a very, we need a Gantt chart or something to keep track of you, John, and all your dances and boyfriends, and I'm telling you, I haven't figured you out quite yet.
No, I only have two.
All right, good. Everyone should have two, I think. I think two is a helpful. Are you talking about residences or boyfriends? Just a minute.
Both.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were talking about two cars. Sorry.
That's not what I was talking about.
there's no way Faye would agree to only having two cars.
So, John, just glossing over that. John, what was the car that you got?
Oh, it was a Chevy Malibu.
Oh, how did you like that?
I liked it a lot. Yeah. A lot. Yeah, it was very nice. It was very quiet.
So describe this car a bit. Like, what color? How many doors? If you know what kind of engine it had.
Engine, I don't know. It was it had four doors. It was sort of grayish brown. And we rented it because it had a moonroof.
Oh.
And.
You'll carry on. This moonroof, this is an electric roof that opens up? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Like a sunroof?
Yeah, sunroof and moonroof are different, though.
What is more bowed? Is that the distinction?
No, I think that a moonroof has a glass top, and a sunroof has a metal top.
Oh, really?
I think
someone's going to have... I want some, if there's anybody search department in the chat room who can look that up, I'd appreciate that. I want to know exactly what a moonroof is. Okay, anyway, let's get back to this car. Find that it was economical for fuel, and was it noisy or comfortable on the...
It was very quiet, and fuel... I don't know. I think we filled the tank up twice. It was bigger than a 10-gallon tank. So what's the next size up? 15?
Probably.
So we filled the 15-gallon tank up twice, and it was maybe 300 miles from Boston to Ithaca.
All right. So let's do the important part of this. What happened when you got there? What was the incredibly smelly like? We want to know. Give us all the goods.
Toppy Smelly is a great guy. He's a great guy.
You know, we're all just dripping with envy here for you being able to meet him.
Well,
dripping might be the wrong word, but yes. We would like to know what your experiences with Toppy were.
I want to avoid giving away.
But if they were dripping, please tell.
No, there was no that kind of drip. Toppy's a great guy. He, I don't know how to describe it.
Okay, well, just a minute. Let me interrupt you for a minute, Mark. Info in the chat room about exactly what a sunroof and a moonroof is. Can you enlighten us, Mark?
Let's see. It's Ask Yahoo. What's Dear Heather? Let's see. Heather asks, what's the difference between a sunroof and a moonroof? Dear Heather. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, God, this is so... Okay.
Let me help sun...
you. Here it is. A sunroof is a generic term used to describe a panel on a roof that can let in light and or air. Moonroof is a term created by Ford in the 70s, yet it is now used generically to describe a glass panel,
yes,
in built electric sunroofs. So it's glass.
All right. Thank you. And thank you to Moose and Larkin for helping us out there. All right. Back to the business. John. Okay. Where did you meet him? Did you touch his hand? Did you shake his hand? Like, is he a real sin? Is he just a figment of your imagination? Give us the goods.
Toppy is a real guy. He's a real guy. I did not touch his whatever. I did shake his hand. And I gave a big hug.
Oh, fantastic.
And we went to some fantastic places. We went to a waterfall. We went bird watching in at Cornell. We had some great dinners and drinks. It was just really wonderful.
John,
I think we need. I think we need to rename Ithaca Mecca.
Oh, really? You like it? You liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot, and I would like to make a pilgrimage to Mecca every year.
George, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask John if he's a bird watcher.
Oh yes. Oh yeah, big bird watcher.
Cool.
Yeah, we need. George?
No. I mean, I have friends who grow pheasants and peacocks, but they're not like, you know, bird watchers in terms of like binoculars and finding birds and whatnot. I'm intrigued by the fact that the male birds are the colorful birds.
That's true.
I think we have to have John on sometime and really delve into this birding, thing. Phenomenon, because it's very interesting to me, and the guys spend so much effort and are so knowledgeable about the species and sounds and stuff. I would really like to talk to you in greater detail about the mechanics of this thing. I think it's very interesting.
Maybe we can do that sometime in the future.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to devote a show to it. So, George, are you a birder too, or
no. I mean, my friends who have all these pheasants and peacocks. I mean, they're beautiful. There's this thing called a red golden, a pheasant called a red golden, and it's like the most stunning thing you've ever seen. Its feathers are like a bright burnt orange to red, and I mean, it's amazing. I would never imagine these colors exist in a bird, and it's fascinating that, you know, in our society, the women are, you know, the colorful, the made up, the lipsticks, they're the sort of attracting attention with the makeup and the color and the what. But in the bird world, the roles are completely reversed. The birds are, the peacocks with the big feathers are the males. I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, queens of the birding world.
Of course, what we're told is that, you know, the females need to be of generic appearance because they are actually sitting on the eggs and they need to blend in with their local environment. So,
I see. Huh. Interesting.
But Veritable's in the room, and that's our research department, so he can confirm or deny all of this.
So, it's really great. You know, I'm really happy, John, that you're able to meet Toppy Smelly. Personally, myself, I'm a little bit jealous that you were able to do that, and I hope you gave him a Pride 48 hug for all of us, because
I did.
Because he's somebody that I think many of us appreciate, and I just want him to know that he's loved by everybody, whether we get to meet him or not. Mark in Canada, let me turn the focus on you for a little bit. You were also in New York. I don't want you to spoil any show you might have coming out about your roles, but how was your trip overall?
Well, it was really good, and it's really nice to have Ranger John here because I met up with Kenty while I was there. So it's all connected. So.
It's all very, very multi... three-way ajatois-esque, if you ask me.
Six degrees of separation. Or whatever.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was 2 degrees.
Or 2 degrees of separation. Yeah, so it was really good. I noticed, I don't know if you want me to bring this up, but one of the things that I noticed that New York does pretty well is traffic management.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's get into this. Go ahead.
I felt more safe as a pedestrian on the streets of New York, walking around and crossing the street than I do in downtown Vancouver. And I think that part of that is that there's a lot of one-way streets in New York. So as a pedestrian, you don't have to worry about, okay, this car is trying to turn in front of me to turn left or to turn right, or it's much more contained. And I just kind of wanted to get your beat on how do drivers feel about one-way streets? Is it something that they like or that they hate or like?
Well, let me open to the panel, starting with Scotty, the little Aussie battler. Scotty, do you have one? Obviously you do, but I was going to try to make an upside-down joke, but Scott, have one-way streets in Australia?
We do have a few one-way streets in the CBD. Maybe, Brisbane City is pretty small, so it's you can't really put it on the scale of...
Yeah, so you're not really baffled by them or inundated with them.
No, there's probably, in the central business district, there's probably like 3 one-way streets going in one direction and another 3 going in the other direction.
Right.
And yeah, it is kind of good. And I think it does move the traffic faster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. George in Atlanta, do you have anything to say about
one-way streets?
Yeah. Do you not in Atlanta?
We do, but there are some cities that don't seem to have a pattern to their one-way streets. Like some are one-way, some are not, some are one. We there in the part of downtown that there are one-way streets, they alternate. One way goes east-west, the next one goes... I mean, one goes east, the next one goes west. I mean, so like there's a pattern, and so you know what to expect. I can turn on this street, I can't turn on the next one, I can turn on the next one. It's those cities that sort of like violate the rules. Are like, oh well, this one's one way, but the next 3 are not, and then the next one is. But yeah, so it seems logical to me. But I've been here 10 years, so who knows?
So Mark, let me ask you this then: you and I both have experience in Vancouver. The one ways in Vancouver are a little bit sporadic, but once you've spent a bit of time there, I think maybe you might absorb the pattern, not that there's really a pattern. Did you find in New York that did you have trouble absorbing this pattern, or was it all, did it go smoothly and naturally?
No, it was very intuitive. And oddly enough, you'd think in New York it'd be this chaotic. I mean, you have the taxi drivers honking at each other. But as a pedestrian, it just felt, but in Vancouver, it's like I never know where the one-way streets are or where... I'm hearing a lot of hiss.
Static?
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, Vancouver is... I think it's kind of like this mid-sized city that's becoming a larger city, and that's just something they need to look at is the... And I think they are, but just the flow of traffic is... It's not quite well thought out, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's kind of unfair. We are only familiar with Vancouver. But I think Vancouver has some challenge. I can understand how you feel like you've got to watch your back. But Don't you always, I mean, as a pedestrian, don't you always have to walk your back? I never step into an intersection without making sure someone's not going to run me over. And that entails checking at least two directions, right? So mm-hmm. don't you think it's natural for people to look?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, I know I do, but still it's, there are some ways to manage traffic that are less deadly than others. And I think the way we've got it here is it just puts pedestrians in conflict with cars. And I think it's avoidable. So
I'm sure it's good, too, for people that come from countries where we drive on the correct side of the road.
Oh, here
in
we
one
go.
Of those weird that you... If all the cars are going one way, you know you're going to get laid down by some hoon, like, you know, pay driver.
You're out of your damn mind.
You know, Scotty, every time I hear a car scream by you when you're doing a show, I say, that's me, it's the pay driver.
Yes.
So you can consider that me. I'm going to honk my horn then, just in honor of you, just randomly.
You went past twice last night then.
That was me. I'm sorry, John.
In New York, I think the streets are one way every other street.
Yeah, it seems like it.
And the avenues are two ways. So the avenues mm-hmm. go north-south, and they're very long, and the streets crisscross the avenues, and they're one way every other street. I think so.
I just think if you're a city that depends on tourism, or a large college enrollment, you shouldn't be having random one-way streets. There should be a pattern to it.
Right.
And I feel, in my experience, well, in Vancouver, I feel a bit of a pattern, but it takes a long time to sort of recognize that, to eke that pattern out. So,
right.
I can agree with you, Mark, that Vancouver's not the best, perhaps, but I think once you know how the system works here, you can use it to your advantage. So overall, I'm actually in favor of one-way streets. I have nothing against them, but mm-hmm. I think it takes thought and consideration on the part of the driver to figure that out, and I don't think many of the drivers in our world are capable or have the desire to spend any effort on understanding where they're going, what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people behind the wheel should not be behind the wheel. I think it should be much harder to get a driver's license than it is.
Yeah.
It takes skill. It takes a lot of skill, and it seems like when cars, the early days of cars, there was a recognition of that, and there were professional drivers, and now any idiot can get behind the wheel, and I think that was a mistake.
All right. John, did you have anything else you wanted to say? I didn't give you much time to talk about that. Because you go to, do you travel to a major urban area for your work and live
day.
Outside of? Yeah, you do. You train it,
yep.
right?
Yep, every day. No, I drive.
Oh, you do drive. Oh.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was that when Daniel and I went to rent the car to go to visit Tuppy Smelly, my license was expired.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah, tisk tisk. So I couldn't rent the car.
Nor could you drive it, I guess.
Nor could I drive it. So Daniel had to do it and do all the driving.
Was this planned on your part?
No.
Are you a much more comfortable passenger than a driver?
Oh, no. I'm a much more comfortable driver.
You seem, you know, we listen to your show, I listen to your show, and you seem like a good passenger. I wouldn't have pegged you an assertive passenger, shall we say.
No, I'm the kind of passenger like, wait, ooh, stop, slow down.
So do you not have faith in Daniel's driving skills, or are you just too... What's your beef? What goes on in that cabin?
Can you imagine him driving with the Fey driver?
Oh, I don't know if I should say this.
Okay. It's okay. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Let me just say that I think some people, I won't say who they are, drive a little too fast.
Some people who might be in the room with you that we can't.
Are you talking about Kenty?
Okay. We could be.
Okay, well, we won't put you on the spot any more than that.
Okay, thanks.
Let's wrap this show up because we have other much more important things to do rather than sit here and listen to the Pink Wheelnuts Garage. I want to put a little note down. Since Scotty the Little Aussie Battler mentioned people might be frightened to drive with me, now you realize I am coming to Las Vegas to set up the
shuttle.
The shuttle, yep. The shuttle will be in operation for Pride Week. And I just want people to realize that you may hear me like a maniac. I don't know how you can get that impression, but if you get the impression that I drive a maniac, please be aware and be comfortable that I will very professionally for you when the Pride 48 shuttle comes to pick you up. In fact, I have had Mark in Canada with me. Maybe Mark in Canada can attest to the fact that I don't always drive like somewhere more important to be, right, Mark?
Right. Yes, you're very skillful. Yes.
Thank you. I have not yet hit a pedestrian with Mark in the car.
I survived.
So let me thank everybody who came around tonight. Let's start looking in the chat room. We've got Gavin here. Good evening, Gavin. Birkin has been here all this time. Moose P. RT Cruiser is from Australia. Toppy Smelly's here. And a veritable Virgo. Yes, we've got a few Mibs in the room. And I don't know if Brother Sinatus and Cronehaven are still or not, but they were here at one time. So thank you guys in the Pride 48 chat rooming us. I hope someone from the Gay Days in Florida is listening to the show. Hello. I hope you're having a fantastic time. I wish I was there. And next, someone has to send me a postcard with the date on it so I could maybe plan to be there. In any case, now let's see who's with me on the call tonight. You guys, if you want to just your show, let's start with Scotty, the Little Aussie Battler.
Hey, or goodbye, everybody. This is Scotty, littleaussiebattler.net, and I'm podcasting apparently nowhere near as much as the Faye Driver, but occasionally.
Scotty, you should have, you know, you're in your last days of uni. I think really you should have taken this day to sleep in and be like a lazy school bum.
I've got 1 week left.
I know, you should be using this uni time to its fullest advantage. So if it was me, I'd be getting drunk and sleeping in late. But thank you for getting up so early and joining us.
Thanks.
Mark in Canada?
Yeah, this is Mark in Canada. My website is musingsofatechwriter.com, and I post a show just about every week or so, and I'm on iTunes, Musings of a Tech Writer.
And Ranger John?
The Dark Forest Podcast, dfranger.blogspot.com.
And George in Atlanta.
You can find me at georgeinatlanta.com. And if you had subscribed to me previously, do please to unsubscribe and resubscribe on iTunes as there's a new feed.
So here we are, everybody protect your ears. Here comes the closing music. Thank you all for joining me. We'll be back again with another episode of the Pink Wheelnuts Garage next, which is, as I reach for my calendar, must be June 8th. Yeah, it would be June 8th. We'll have another show. And thank you all for joining me tonight. You can find me at www.pinkwheelnuts.com.
Hello. Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.